It is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We check in with the Office of School Safety now, examining its resources, its anti-violence work as the state budget process is underway. The office was created with bipartisan support in 2018 after the Parkland, Florida shooting. Call in with questions and comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Trish Kilpin is Executive Director of the Office of School Safety within the Wisconsin Department of Justice. Trish, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me and for your interest in school safety here in Wisconsin.
Yes, this Office of School Safety has been funded by federal dollars from the American Recovery Plan Act, that funding set to expire later this year. Why should the state legislature continue funding the office?
The Office of School Safety was originally created to provide grants to schools and to become a repository for 5 documents for every school that document their school safety work. The Office of School Safety has embraced providing model practices to all of our schools here in Wisconsin. And while we know that we have to respond appropriately to school safety issues, we know too that prevention is where the work is at. We provide training and best practices to schools across the state, to every school, and we do that for free. We're able to engage in some of the practices that we know work. Since I've been on last time, there have been more school violent incidents, more school shootings. We experienced several since I was on last June. Mm-hmm. While we prioritize responding appropriately to those tragedies, and in fact, the Office of School Safety has created 12 critical incident response teams across the state in order to provide a right-sized response when there's a crisis in a school, we know that prevention is where it's at. And while we know that school safety violent incidents like the shootings that have happened across our nation can have people feeling pretty overwhelmed and helpless, we instead bring to schools some hope that if they engage in model practices that we can teach them and provide them resources to conduct, that they are more likely to prevent violence in their schools.
Looking at funding, Attorney General Josh Call requested $2.2 million for the office in the next budget cycle. Governor Evers reduced that to about $1 million in his proposal. How would that funding be used?
The funding request that has been made by the Department of Justice is for us to continue our operations. While many people might not realize all the work that we do with our small team, we run Speak Up, Speak Out Wisconsin. That is a tip reporting line where anyone can get support for youth. Since it was launched in September of 2020, it has received over 6,700 tips documenting concerns, telling us that youth need support and assistance and intervention. Though positions that are provided in the governor's budget are a great start, and we're appreciative of having conversations about stable funding for our office, but we are striving for the $2.2 million, which includes 16 positions, 10 of which are to staff the 24/7 call center, Speak Up, Speak Out Wisconsin. And so that the funding request is really just to continue our operations, not even to grow our office, providing threat assessment assistance, providing courses, providing classes, providing critical incident response teams, providing grant opportunities to schools, all of the things that we do every day. So it's a great start, what's in the governor's budget, but we'd have to do some pretty intensive strategic planning, and we would not be able to continue as we are without the full funding.
Can you talk a little bit further about Speak Up, Speak Out Resource Center and this tip line, hotline? You mentioned the thousands of tips that have come in. How often are authorities acting on tips that the center receives?
We receive tips every day. So the tips coalesce around different categories. So there's different topics that we respond to. Every tip that we received is delivered to the school. So every tip that a student lets us know that they're being harassed, they're being bullied, they're being maltreated, they are a victim of abuse, they have a concern that a peer might have a gun or a weapon or is planning a school attack, every tip gets delivered to the school, and the school responds by providing interventions and providing what is necessary to prevent violence and give students the support that they need and deserve. Some of those tips also go to law enforcement. So when it's a life safety matter, when a crime has been committed, when there is a potential that someone is in danger, we receive many tips from students telling us that their friend has posted that they have plans to kill themselves. We are able to provide those interventions and prevent tragedy.
Are these tips mostly coming in from students?
Yes, most of our tips come from students. We also, though, receive a fair amount of requests through our Speak Up, Speak Out Center from adults, from school staff, from administrators, from local law enforcement, asking us for support and assistance for something that they're encountering. We provide case consultation for threat assessment. We provide critical incident response when a student has had a tragedy in a school, such as when a student dies that attends a school. Hmm. We help that school to respond appropriately in order to help the students recover. So some of our tips come from the adults. Most of our tips come from our students.
Since launching it, have you seen any trend lines? Like, for instance, when there is just a tragic school shooting somewhere else in the country, or, you know, even in Wisconsin, do you see different peaks and valleys with this tip line?
We have seen our trend line is really showing us tremendous growth. So as we show our students and staff that we're an effective and efficient resource for their concerns, We are having an increase in tips. From February last year to February this year, there was 163% increase in tips. So we are increasing significantly. Our largest tip, our most frequent tip, is bullying, student bullying and harassment. And we're really pleased with that opportunity to intervene early when somebody is struggling. Because we know often in acts of school violence, it starts with an upset or a grievance, and we prefer to solve things at an early stage.
We're talking with the director of Wisconsin's Office of School Safety, which is located within the State Justice Department. You can join in with your questions, your concerns at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. When you talk about bullying, and that's, it seems like our sole focus has been to figure out lockdowns, to figure out these tragic incidents when someone is coming into the building armed. Are there resources within your office that we might not be thinking about that your office is providing?
Absolutely. Some of that best practice school safety guidance is to help schools make decisions that will be effective if they were to encounter something like a school safety threat. So schools are required to submit to us their blueprints, their maps, their school safety plan, which is like their emergency operation plan, their school safety assessment, which should guide their plan, the documentation of their school safety drills and their school safety training. And when they do that, we are able to provide them with some feedback and best practice guidance. For example, we know that school safety drills are a critical piece to this equation. People have to be ready to respond appropriately if there was a crisis in a school. But we also know that we must do them in ways that do not produce any trauma. So we advocate for no drama, no trauma drills. We provide training on that and support for schools so they can make the decisions that are best for their students.
There is that sentiment, especially among young people, that these drills aren't helping, that they're not solving, that they're adding trauma to students' lives. How do you respond to that feedback?
Drills are supposed to increase muscle memory. That is a goal of a school safety drill. They can be done in a way that does that without increasing anxiety. So always telling students when a drill is about to occur, informing the community that there will be a drill, providing opportunities for feedback, and not using sensory, so not using sounds of violence, not invoking fear. We don't light the garbage can on fire in order to have a fire drill. And we don't need to have the sounds of bullets or tragedy or harm to help our students have that muscle memory. And that is the goal of a drill. So a very calm, planned, predictable drill, it has not been shown to increase trauma. But we have to do that in a very specified way.
You mentioned building maps, and I think the last time we talked, there were these a lot of effort to upgrade and improve the types of school blueprint building maps being kept by the Justice Department and local law enforcement. How is that project going?
It's really, we've seen such a use of the grant. The grant is Act 109, provided funds for schools to be reimbursed for creating digital maps. And all of those funds were pretty quickly depleted, and we found we had a waiting list. So we had a very small amount of monies left from our original $100 million in grants, some funds that we were able to put into that project. And we now have, it's open again, and schools can apply. Schools are finding great value in these maps, not just in creation of the maps, but in their conversations with law enforcement, in their ongoing communications. And it's we're very excited about the results that we've seen with this grant opportunity that was a commitment from the legislature.
Why does the making these maps digital matter? What impact does it have?
It's a much more efficient and effective way for law enforcement or first responders to know exactly what is needed at a school, where the location that they should be responding to, what door they should use. It's kind of like having a digital battleship kind of map. And if there's an incident, not just a school violence incident, but it also could be like somebody is in need of medical assistance. And let's say they're by the school pool. How does the emergency responders get there most efficiently. So it's really decreasing that confusion with unfamiliar responders, and even those who respond often, just to what exactly the crisis is and how to be most effective.
Trish Kilpin leads the Office of School Safety as we look at its funding picture, its resources housed within the State Justice Department, working on programs for schools designed to keep kids safe. Call in with questions and thoughts, 800-642-1234. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report in the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We get briefed on the funding priorities of the State Office of School Safety as the biennial budget process is underway. This is the office that created the Speak Up, Speak Out Resource Center, that one-stop threat reporting 24-hour tip line. Trish Kilpin is director of the Office of School Safety. Let's take a call now. Martha in Menominee. Martha, hi. What's on your mind?
Yeah, it seems that this is just going on and on and on, and not much is being done about the, gun violence in the schools. My question is, what can be done as far as these traumas? Kids are going to school and they're facing trauma every day. Just to go to school, active shooter drills and all these threats of, these guns in schools and the shootings. Why can't the principals, the administrators get together with the teachers and just do something to say, we're not going to do this anymore until the legislature, the people in the legislatures, grow some cojones and stand up to the gun lobby?
So,
The legislature.
Martha, I'm going to toss this back to Trish Kilpin here. Trish, Martha really concerned that it really stems from lawmaking here and access to guns.
Martha, thank you for recognizing the way that our students are being impacted by the ongoing crisis that's created when school violent events happen. I do appreciate that. You are correct that our children are being impacted by these incidents. We must lean into the things that we know work at schools. when somebody comes to school and they commit an act of violence, it could be someone outside of the school community. Maybe they have a previous relationship with the school community, as we saw in Nashville. And that is when we utilize practices such as hardening the school and creating locked entrances and those types of things. But we know that oftentimes an act of school violence occurs by somebody who attends that school. And so those things don't tend to work. What we know do work is being able to get that tip reporting information out to students so they can report early. 81% of the time when there's been an act of school violence, a peer knew about it. Somebody knew that their peer was planning an act of school violence. So providing things like SUSO, promoting SUSO, making sure that our community, our parents, everyone is knowledgeable about SUSO, helps us to meet that goal to prevent violence by becoming aware and intervening early. The second practice that we know works with preventing school violence is taken from the Secret Service. So it's adapted from their process of protecting public officials. And that is the practice of behavioral threat assessment and management. And with that, our office trains people across the state. We've trained thousands of law enforcement and school administrators and school pupil service mental health folks and teachers about how to determine when a student who made a threat, if they truly pose a threat, and exactly how to intervene and make sure that violence doesn't happen.
Let's bring in Derek now in Appleton. Derek, hi.
Hello. Thanks for having me on.
Sure. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, I just wanted to say that I'm a huge fan of the Office of School Safety and DOJ. It's incredible to me that we even talk about having enough money to fund your department. It should be double that. I'm very thankful for what Office of School Safety does for our state and our kids. The question I have is how close are we to the Office of School Safety approving blueprints of new buildings being built for education in our state? I could see in the future that retrofits are going to cost millions of dollars, because eventually I believe we're going to get there to where you can't just build a school made of glass and open concept because of response protocols for safety. How close are we to actually implement at your level, at the state level, approval for blueprints for buildings like some of the other states in the country has done?
Well, that's interesting, Derek. Thank you for bringing that. Trish.
Derek, thank you for your support of our office. We are appreciative. This is not something that I know about in terms of the approval of those blueprints. I do know that our office has school safety consultants that will work with schools as they're making plans for their emergency operations, and we do provide those funds for grants. I am hoping that there will be universal support, bipartisan support for what we know works for schools, and I'd love to know more about that, about how to make sure that our schools are built in ways that we that are safe for students. And we have that, what we call SEPTED, which is environmental design to prevent violence.
Time is something, too, that you must really take a look at here, that you have to respond really quickly in an office. And, you know, state government perhaps on a whole might not move that fast when it comes to different projects or programs or reacting to something that is happening right then. What about time and how your office has to respond?
It is critical that we have our 24/7 call center. We receive calls in the middle of the night from communities who have just experienced a trauma, from schools who are victims of anonymous threats, swatting incidents, and we're able to, at all hours of the day and nights, weekends, holidays, provide them with the interventions that they need. You are correct that we can't have a time barrier to giving our students and our school staff what they need in order to overcome any kind of threat for school safety. And so while we understand that things have to go through the legislature, we are always engaging in best practices and trying to bring schools what they need as efficiently and quickly as possible.
We're in conversation with the head of Wisconsin's Office of School Safety, which is located within the Department of Justice, Trish Kilpin here. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Jeff in Appleton. Good morning, Jeff. Go ahead.
Good morning. I agree with the guest that bullying and some of this bad student behavior is really at the root of things that escalate to some real tragedies. But my question then is, if these students are not, well, in terms of efficiency, speaking to local administrators and teachers would be the most efficient. If these students are feeling it necessary to call a state agency, is that not an either complete failure to address it on the local level, or at the best, I guess, would be a complete vote of no confidence on these local administrators to deal with the issues in their local schools? So is there a plan to work with the local school administrators, teachers, to learn how to deal with this? And
at a local level? Jeff, yes, and I'm going to have Trish respond, short on time. Go ahead, Trish.
You are correct. We need to provide access to support in every school. So having trusted adults that handle things effectively and efficiently when students have a concern. Sometimes there are barriers to doing that. Students worry about retaliation. They worry about being exposed. And so this provides another layer of support. In no way should we be replacing the need for schools to have build that trust with their students and having students come to them when they have a concern. We'd like to promote help seeking versus secrecy in these types of situations.
Trish, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. And thank you for your support of the Office of School Safety.
Trish Kilpin has been the director of the Wisconsin Department of Justice's Office of School Safety since February of last year. It is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.